Welcome to Faith Renewed, a ministry of Faith Recovery Fellowship right here in Alaska. Knowing Jesus as Lord is the most important thing in our lives, and we aim to share the true gospel with everyone. Listen with us today as Pastor Scott preaches to his congregation and invites you to know the Lord Jesus Christ. You can also visit us online at faithrecoveryfellowship.org, that's O-R-G, for more information about our local church. God is good, and Jesus saves all who surrender their lives to him. Amen.
We're going to be in John chapter 6 tonight. I'm going to pick up in verse 22. But I want to give a little quick recap. Jesus has just finished feeding the 5,000, and then he walks on the water across the Sea of Galilee to the city of Capernaum. And in that period of time when he walked across the water, he declared himself to be the I Am of Scripture. And it's important for us to recognize that Jesus has been and always will be. He is the beginning and the end. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the one who has been, like I said, and always will be. And it's important for us to recognize the truth of what Scripture teaches concerning the person of Jesus Christ, because we look at the Bible as a series of books written by numerous authors, 66 books in all, and yet it is one continuous story of Christ and his relationship with the world, and through the nation of Israel, and then later through the Gentiles, and through us as believers in Christ at this point in history. So when Jesus says, I am, there is a powerful statement, because we know that the I Am of Scripture begins to be revealed to us in Exodus chapter 3, in the burning bush. And oftentimes we read through Scripture and we see something like the angel of the Lord in the burning bush, and we don't really recognize that that angel of the Lord is the person, pre-incarnate, of Jesus Christ, and that he is continually and has been continually working in the lives of men and women throughout history from the beginning of time, as time in our sense of the word, because he is eternal. So as you read this morning, we're going to look at this chapter 6, but we're going to talk about Christ in a small sense this morning, because chapter 6 of the Gospel of John is like taking a bite out of an elephant. You take it one piece at a time, one bite at a time, because there is so much here. Incredible truth to be found in this chapter. We're going to look at verses 22 through 35, and I'll read. The next day, the crowd that had stayed on the other side of the sea knew that there had been only one boat. They also knew that Jesus had not boarded the boat with his disciples, but that his disciples had gone off alone. Some boats from Tiberias came near the place where they ate the bread after the Lord had gave thanks. When the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they got into the boats and went to Capernaum looking for Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when did you get here? Jesus answered, I assure you, you are looking for me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled. Don't work for the food that perishes, but for the food that lasts for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal of approval on him. What can we do to perform works for God? They asked. Jesus replied, This is the work of God, that you believe in the one he has sent. What signs then are you going to do so we may see and believe you? They asked. What are you going to perform? My father ate the manna in the wilderness, just as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus said to them, I assure you, Moses didn't give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the real bread from heaven, for the bread of God is the one who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Then he said, Sir, Give us this bread always. Jesus answered, I am the bread of life. No one who comes to me will ever be hungry. No one who believes in me will ever be thirsty again. It's an amazing passage of scripture. Jesus declares himself to be the bread of life. He declares himself to be life. I give life to all men, he says in the beginning of the Gospel of John. So when we see what happened here, this is the beginning of a discourse that Jesus has with the Jews and with people that were attending. But Jesus, the first thing that happens here is Jesus confronts the motive that people had for seeking him. He confronts the motive. So let's look at the beginning of this story. The next day, the crowd that was staying on one side of the sea knew that there was only one boat. So we know that Jesus had gone to the mountain to pray, and the disciples got in the boat and started across the sea. They were in a storm, a very serious storm, because as fishermen, they'd been on the Sea of Galilee many, many times, and yet they were afraid because the storm was so severe. And Jesus came across the sea walking on the water, and they were afraid. Now, that's the backdrop of this story that we're reading today, because the people came to look for Christ again because they were looking for food that perishes. They were looking for him to continue to provide them with food, with bread. And bread was the staple of the Jewish culture at that point. They were looking for food that perishes, but Jesus tells them something entirely different. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when did you get here? He never answered the question. Oftentimes we see this in Scripture, that Jesus never answers the question that he's asked. He always uses that question as an opportunity to tell them something more about himself, to tell him something more about what he is going to do, and referring back to what he already has done and what the Father has done. So we see that Jesus' response to them is not answering the question of how did you get here. He didn't say, oh, by the way, I just happened to walk across the sea on top of the water. He didn't tell them that. He said, why are you here? Basically, he said in verse 26, I assure you, you are looking for me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled. Don't work for the food that perishes, but for the food that lasts for eternal life. Jesus makes a transition here. He literally changes the subject. Don't come to me looking for more bread. Come to me and recognize who I am and the truth of eternal life. You know, we get caught up in day-to-day life. I understand that. We have to deal with day-to-day life every day. But when he challenges us as well as the people that he was talking to in Capernaum, he challenges us to look beyond daily sustenance, look beyond getting fed, look beyond working for simply the next meal. He tells them that they need to look to him because you're working for food that perishes, but the Son of Man will give to you because God the Father has set the seal of approval upon him. Don't work for food that perishes, but work for food that gives you everlasting life. Now, they misunderstood what Jesus was saying. He wasn't saying, work for your salvation. He wasn't saying, do better, do more, be more. Because when they challenged him, what can we do to perform works for God? They thought that he was saying, labor for eternal life. But he replies to them in verse 29, this is the work of God. They said, what can we do? He said, this is what you can do. This is the work of God, that you believe in the one he has sent. You believe in the one he has sent. And he also says that the Father has put his seal of approval on the Son. And it shows up in a couple of different places in John and in Matthew, because we look at this question, how did God put his seal of approval on Jesus Christ? How did he put his seal of approval on Jesus Christ? John tells us, John the Baptist tells us, that there came a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son." In John 1:29, the next day John saw Jesus coming towards him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. This is the one I told you about. After me comes a man who has surpassed me because he existed before me. I don't know him, but I came baptizing with water so he might be revealed to Israel." And then John testified, "I watched the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he was resting on him." The dove was resting on Christ. "And I didn't know him, but he was sent to me to baptize with water, told me, 'He who sent me,'" that's the Father, the one you see the Spirit of dove descending and resting on, "when he is baptizing with the Holy Spirit, I have seen and testify that he is the Son of God." The seal of approval that came was partially through John, because John was sent ahead of Christ to pave the way for Jesus to come. But then we see it in Matthew chapter 3 as well, that Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. But John tried to stop him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and yet you come to me." Jesus answered him, "Allow it for now, because this is the way for us to fulfill all righteousness." Then he, John, allowed him to be baptized. After Jesus was baptized, he went up immediately from the water. The heavens suddenly opened for him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming down on him. And there came a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son. Take delight in him." How did God declare Christ? By literally speaking from heaven. But at the same time, John recognizes it in John chapter 6. Now, we need to clarify. There's two Johns spoken of in the Gospel of John. There's John the Revelator, who wrote the book, and John the Baptist, who came before Christ. But John wrote down, "The Father has set his seal of approval on him." God declared Jesus Christ to be his Son. God declared Jesus Christ to be the one who is going to take away the sins of the world. God declared Christ to be the Lord and Savior. And what Jesus is doing at this point in his ministry is declaring to the people that he is the I Am of the Old Testament. He is the I Am of the Old Testament. And he's revealed in the Old Testament in Exodus chapter 3 when he refers to himself as God, and he refers to himself as the Lord. And he declares to Moses in Exodus chapter 3, "Take off your shoes, take off your sandals, because the place you are standing on is holy ground." He declares himself to be the Lord, as the angel of the Lord in the Old Testament. So Jesus says to us in verse 29, "This is the work of God, that you believe in the one he has sent." He was challenged by the people. Now, remember this from the beginning of the Gospel of John, beginning of chapter 6. They had just been fed. 5,000 men, plus women and children, were just fed because of a small lunch of loaves and fishes that Jesus took, blessed, and fed as many people as perhaps 15,000 people out of that one small lunch. And yet they say, "What sign are you going to show us that you are who you say you are? Don't we do that? Don't we take the blessings that God pours out to us all the time and then question him as to whether or not he is able to do what he claims he can do? Sometimes we claim to believe in Christ, and yet at the same time we question whether he can do for us what he says he can do, in us what he says he can do. And here he is challenged by the people. "What sign are you going to do so we can see and believe you? What are you going to perform? Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, just as it was written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus said, I assure you, Moses didn't give you bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the real bread that is from heaven, speaking of himself. For the bread of God is the one who comes down to heaven and gives life to the world. That's why Jesus came. And we celebrate Christmas, and we give gifts to people, we give gift to family, but we don't recognize many times the true gift. The true gift is Jesus Christ himself coming down to give life. He comes down to give life to the world. John chapter 3, this entire Gospel of John is the story of Christ's redemptive purpose in the world. And at the same time, he tells us that he came just simply for one reason. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. The bread of God is the one who comes down from heaven. Jesus is the bread of life. And he gives life to the world. He gives life to the world. If we have Christ, we have the promise of eternal life. If we have Christ, we have the promise of living with Christ in heaven, with the Father as well, for eternity. We have that promise because of what Christ did on the cross. And I think it's important at this point to say that we have to believe in Christ in our heart and recognize him in our heart, because otherwise we are lost and undone. Romans tells us, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Now, you might be great people. You might be wonderful people. You might be people that know that you don't want to do anything wrong or anything bad. You want to do what is required of us to be righteous and to be good people. But the simple truth is that all of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And we have to recognize that we are, in fact, sinners, and we need a Savior. And that Savior is the person of Jesus Christ. And believing in him is not simply acknowledging him, not simply acknowledging the fact that he is who he says he is, but it is literally accepting him and inviting him to come into our life and be part of our life, to be the ruler of our life, to be the sovereign of our life, to be our Savior. And that requires us to confess our sin and recognize that we cannot save ourselves. Only he can save us. Only he can make us new. Only he can make us alive. Only he can give us life. The sad part is that when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, God declared that we would surely die. At that moment, we died spiritually as a human race, because we lost our connection to God. Jesus comes to give us newness of life. And in our dead spiritual condition, we're still alive. We're walking around, but we are spiritually dead because we don't have the Spirit of God living in us to quicken our spirit, to make us alive unto him. And he wants us to come to that place where he will give us newness of life. Newness of life. I remember when I came to know Christ in 1973, a long time ago for most everybody here, it was amazing to me that all of a sudden everything looked different. Everything was brighter. Everything was more vivid. Everything was more alive, because all of a sudden I could see things through spiritual eyes, not my old dead spiritual condition. He quickens our spirit to make us alive unto him. And we recognize that that is true when all of a sudden life changes for us. My life changed drastically that day that I asked Christ into my life. He began a work in me to make me different than I was then. And the same thing is true of us, but we have to recognize that we need Christ in our life. We need him personally to engage our life. Need him personally to guide and direct our life. And we need to have that relationship with him, because otherwise we are lost. We are dead and we are on our way to a Christless eternity. He wants more from us. He's given us the opportunity to have that relationship. No, Jesus didn't have to come. He did not have to come to earth to die on a cross to pay the penalty for our sin. He already had everything to continue to exist eternally, but he wanted us. He wanted our fellowship. He wanted a relationship with us. And the only way that that could happen was through the perfect sacrifice of his own life, his human life, for us. So we have Jesus in a different sense that many of us think about. Not just a baby born in Bethlehem, but the eternal God himself coming down to become a man like us, to be tempted, to be challenged, to live a life as a man, and to die as a man on a cross to pay the penalty for our sin. It was not an apparition. It was not a spiritual being that died on that cross for us. It was a man who shed his blood for us. And there is no, literally no forgiveness of sin without the shedding of blood. And Jesus paid that penalty for us. And he made it possible for us to have eternal life, to live with him forever in heaven. He gave himself for us purposefully. The Jews did not take Jesus' life. The Romans did not take Jesus' life. He laid his life down for us willfully, purposely, so that we can have eternal life. And it's important for us to recognize this, because otherwise this doesn't make a whole lot of sense to us. In verse 35, he said, "I am the bread of life. No one who comes to me will ever be hungry, and no one who believes in me will ever thirst again." Now, we know that we do get hungry and we do get thirsty, but he's talking about spiritually. I am the bread of life. And without the life of Christ in us, we are dead. But with the life of Christ in us, we are able to have and to do and to be the men and the women that he wants us to be. So, you know, I think about this in terms of the world. And the whole purpose of advertising on the media is to tell us that we need something that they have to offer. And somehow we're not going to be happy if we don't have that something that they have to offer. But the truth is that no matter what we get, no matter what we have, no matter what we acquire in this world, it is never enough to satisfy our need. It is never enough to satisfy our need, because we always want something different. We always want something more. We always think we have to have something more. And Jesus is the only one who can actually fill that need for us himself. So he desires for us to have a relationship with him, because he can fulfill all of our needs. He can fulfill everything that we have to have, quote unquote, in our life. And we really need to consider the fact that he wants us to seek him. My goal, Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, is to know him and the power of his resurrection. Now you think of that. Paul wrote 16 books of the New Testament, and he said, my goal is to know Christ and the power of his resurrection in my life. And then later in that same chapter, he says, I make every effort to know him because he has taken hold of me. Christ has taken hold of us, and we need to take hold of him. And how do we do that? We do that through his word. We do that through prayer. We do that through study. We do that for understanding. This book, the Bible, is literally God's word to us and the story of Jesus Christ in history. It's not stories about people. There are people included in this story, but Christ is the center of the message of the Bible. And the purpose of Christ in our life is to draw us closer into a relationship with him, where we will enjoy for eternity and understand Him for eternity. So we need to look at the Word. We need to study the Word. We need to see the Word of God begin to transform us into the person that He desires for us to be, and at the same time, to recognize that He is the bread of life. He is life for us. He came to give us life. He came to show us life. He came to present Himself to us and to sacrifice Himself for us so that we can have life in Him. That's the most important, most beautiful message of the Word of God. The entire Bible is written for the purpose of transforming our lives, to recognize that Jesus is the center and that He needs to be the center of our life as well. He needs to be the one that we serve. We take care of our families? Yes, we should. We take care of our responsibilities? Yes, we should. But it's not just because we want to take care of what we need to do. It's because we demonstrate in the way that we live our life what Christ is doing in our life and what He wants to do continually for us. It's so important for us to recognize what we need to do, what we need to be because of what Christ has done for us. We all need Jesus Christ in our life, and we all need Him to continue to work in us and change us into the people He wants us to be.
As we close, John 6 reminds us that Jesus does not come merely to improve our circumstances, but to save our souls. The crowd wanted bread that would fill their stomachs, but Christ offered Himself as the bread of life, who alone can satisfy the deepest hunger of the human heart. This passage confronts us with a sober truth. Apart from Christ, we labor for what cannot last. In Him, we receive eternal life freely by grace through faith. The call is not to chase signs, blessings, or temporary relief, but to come to Jesus, trust Him fully, and rest in His finished work. He is sufficient for every need in this life and the life to come. We would also like to ask you to partner with us as we reach across the state of Alaska on radio, and Lord willing, TV as well. Everything helps when it comes to making sure more and more people have the chance to hear the gospel of Christ, for there is no other message of salvation on earth. As Christ continues to change lives, we ask you to visit us online at faithrecoveryfellowship.org to help us in the way of donations to ensure that more have the opportunity to know Jesus Christ and the power of His resurrection.